name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul says that he can bear witness of the Jews that they have a zeal for God. But the zeal that they have for God is not a zeal that comes from the knowledge of God. The zeal that they have of God comes from their misunderstanding of the Old Covenant. It's not that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are different. It's that the Old Covenant was given to the Jews from the outside, imposed upon them by the authority of God in order to keep them from getting any worse than they already were. And so it was a law. But the true righteousness of God is not a righteousness that can be accomplished by the law. They had knowledge of the law, but they did not have a knowledge of the source of the law. They did not have a knowledge of God's own divine righteousness. And if we try to understand God's righteousness in terms of laws of this world, laws that we pass in order to govern ourselves, or even the law that God gave to the Jews, if we try to understand righteousness according to those ways of thinking, then we're going to miss it altogether. There is really only one way that we can understand the kind of righteousness that St. Paul is talking about. He is talking about the knowledge of God that becomes possible because God's own Son came into the world, became incarnate, and accomplished the great, great work that he did, culminating with his death on the cross and his destruction of the power of death over us, so that we could be sharers and participators in his life, in God's life, adopted into his life. Now those who are brought into the divine life of God himself, they are able to know God's righteousness firsthand by experience, and it's not a matter of law. St. Paul explains to us in the passages that we've heard today the nature of that righteousness. In Greek, there is a special word for that kind of righteousness, dikaiosyne, a quality that God has. God has the divine quality of righteousness. But it's not about legislation or rule or power, at least not the way we understand it in the world. God's divine righteousness pours out into the world as grace and love. Why? Because he is God. Because he is holy. Because he is the source of life. Because he is the source of goodness. And if we know firsthand that goodness, that righteousness, then we can share in it, and we can participate in it, and we can bring it into the world, just as Mary brought into the world Jesus the Christ himself. We are called to bring into the world by way of our own lives, our own persons, our own bodies, these divine qualities like divine righteousness. Why is it that we're told that we ought not to judge others? Because judging others is completely the opposite of the way God is in his divine righteousness. If we are judged, it is because we were created to live and be in a certain kind of way as human beings, and we don't. We're not judged the way a lawyer judges. We're judged by way of the fact that we were created to live in a certain kind of way and given the ability to live in that kind of way by the coming of the Son of God into the world, and by our baptism into his life, we are able to live in the kind of way that God created us to live, namely from him, from his righteousness, from his glory, from his goodness, from his compassion, from his mercy, from his love. We are able to do that. And if we turn back and turn aside and decide to live in some other way, then we are turning back and turning aside from something that has been made possible for us. And the only barrier between us and living from God's righteousness is our own self-orientation, our own self-love, our own judgment of others, our own putting ourselves separate from others and from God the way God loves. And that's a choice of direction that we make. It's not a matter of a set of virtues that we can accomplish somehow on the basis of our own ability. The virtues are all divine. They are all God's virtues. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, has given us the capacity to share and participate in them from the source. The first thing that we need to have is the humility to set behind us the hope that we had that we would be able to live life separate from the source of goodness and love and compassion and beauty and charity and righteousness. Because there is no other place that those things can come from. If we separate ourselves from God, we can't express them. They can only be expressed by our oneness with Him, which God has acted in order to make possible. As Mary brought Him into the world, we can bring into the world, by the way of our own lives, the good that we are especially capable of doing. And all of the good that we are able to do belongs to God. It can't be fulfilled unless we unite ourselves to Him. That is what we are meant to be. The presence of God in the world by way of whoever we happen to be. Living like that is our salvation. Not to live like that will bring us nothing but misery. And we can only know the righteousness of God in our own heart. What we love in our heart, that will determine how we are in our lives. And if we are baptized into God's own life, and we live that life, and that life passes into the center of ourselves, so that out of our heart comes not anger or hatred or jealousy or envy, but instead out of our heart shines forth the divine righteousness of God, His grace, His love upon the world, then, however we happen to be as individuals, that way of being a human being will become a way of presenting God in the world. We are meant to be that presence of God in the world. There is no other happiness for us. If we can't turn inside of ourselves and find this divine righteousness that we can then pass on into the world, we will feel the world is unjust, the world is miserable, the world is a terrible place to live. And until we give up our pride and our anger and all of those other major sins, repudiate them. They stand in the way. In the West, they call them the seven deadly sins. And they're called deadly sins rightly. They should be called the deadly sins because they destroy the life that we are able to live in Christ. Now, I don't know exactly what someone like a Western theologian might think, Thomas Aquinas or somebody, but they are deadly sins because each and every one of them will kill the life that we are baptized into. Anger and sloth and lust and envy and all of the rest of them. The alternative to living in this transformed way, we can see illustrated by the example that we've heard from the Gospel according to St. Matthew this morning. The two demoniacs, the Gergesene demoniacs, the demoniacs from Gergesa, from the country of Gergesa. They go and they live in these tombs. They separate themselves from everyone else and hide among the dead because there they don't have to confront other living human beings. There they don't have to confront the life that they are not living. Deadly sins put us in the same kind of condition. And in fact, there is very little difference between the demons that we associate with these deadly sins and the embrace of the sins themselves acting them out. If we live in hatred of others, if we live in anger, if we live in lust and envy, then certainly these dark powers have possession of us and they need to be driven out because they will make us like the animals that Jesus sends the demons into. These sins will make us into the opposite of what we are created to be. Real and true human beings created in the image and likeness of God. We can only live in that kind of way by uniting ourselves to God, and God comes into the world in order to make it possible for us to do that, in order for us to be able to live that life. But we do have our freedom. We can turn away from that life. We can prefer a confusion about ourselves that defines and understands us as we are, driven by these ways of missing the mark and going off in the opposite direction. Because that's exactly what each one of these deadly sins are. A determination to turn our back on God and go in the opposite direction. The fact of the matter is that every morning we are born into a world where the sun has just arisen and there is a new day. A new day of good to be done in the world. A new day that is meaningful because we are able to live in the world as the presence of God through Christ and in the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be a human being. Only if we turn our backs on that calling to be fully and deeply and truly human, as we can only be in Christ, need we suffer the misery and agony and confusion and anger that we suffer most of the time. The remedy of repentance, of reorientation toward God, is always there, constantly, every moment, throughout the day, until the sun goes down. So when we think about the righteousness that we ought to have as Christians, let's not think in terms of some sort of very confused idea of judgment in worldly terms and God somehow letting us off the hook because He's no better than any judge of this world who is always anxious to convict us of our shortcomings. That's not the way it is. The reality of the righteousness of God, the reality of the righteousness that we feel the need of and want to live in terms of, is the most real of all things. And we human beings are the ones who are created to bring it into the world, to bring this light of the presence of God into the world throughout each day. So let's make that our spiritual struggle, to return again and again to the light, to bring joy and comfort and love and compassion to others directly from God through ourselves, and know the peace that passes all understanding that we have when we live in that kind of way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.